In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. I have with me Danny Stain, who's helping us at the School of the Holy Spirit. And the word that comes to me today, they were in one accord with Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. That's when the Holy Spirit came, when there was this oneness that Jesus prayed for on the night before he died. Tell us more about the Holy Spirit, Danny.
Well, you know, he's real. Of course, we know that if we're listening to this, but there's also just the reality that there's we're finding out more and more how much he wants to be honored and blessed and released. And even when it's awkward to us as humans, he comes and he does what he does because he's God. And I am, he's my best friend. He's my closest friend. I love Holy Spirit. I spend most of my days talking to him and listening to him and trying to hear correctly from him. But I'm so delighted by what he's doing. And there's aspects of it as we grow that we learn there's more. There's so much more of him that we don't know. You know, of his kingdom, it says there is no end. Well, the same is true of him. There is no end, that we don't have a full experience of the Holy Spirit. We have an ever-increasing experience of the Holy Spirit. And so there are aspects of him that I pull on. I ask him, Lord, I want more of you. I want to be filled more. I want to get lost in you and never find my way out. It's one of the most profound experiences I've ever experienced in my life. It's been an ongoing experience, but it's something that I know is not diminishing. It's increasing in the days to come. It's such a delight. I love Holy Spirit.
There would be no church without the Holy Spirit. There would be no Word of God without the Holy Spirit. There would be no Eucharist without the Holy Spirit. There would be no prophetic utterances without the Holy Spirit. There would be no priesthood without the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the person that Jesus says that I am not praying for the world, but I pray for the disciples. We are to pray in the Holy Spirit for the world, the body of Christ. And there are so many people that have come. And Jesus said that he came to seek and save that which was lost. And there are so many lost people. And these people may be good people. They may be wonderful people. But they don't know Jesus. And Jesus came that people would come to know. He said, I've come to seek and save that which is lost.
Yeah, you know, I was when you think about the Holy Spirit and how it says they were in one accord and remember they were waiting in that room. I often refer to that room as probably the most boring prayer meeting that anybody ever been in, because they're waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting for the Lord to come. And in the midst of that, they're trying to figure out, now, what do we need to do to make God come? And they figured out all kinds of things to do. And I think eventually the Lord just said, you know, are you guys done yet? Are you done yet? And at that moment, he came. He came when they reached the end of themselves, when they reached the end of all their exasperation. And when they said, you know what? He said he would come. Here he comes. And there's nothing more precious than experiencing that. And when you experience that, and in fact, even where he came to seek and save that which is lost, that becomes a natural outflow. When you receive the Holy Spirit, it's not as much as something that we program in our lives. It's something that just begins flowing out of our lives, because that's who we are. We've met Jesus, and we've met the Holy Spirit, and he's filled us, and we are bubbling over with his presence. We're bubbling over with joy. I often refer to the fact that if something's boring, where's God? Because God is not boring. God is full of life. He's full of vibrance and joy. And when we experience Him, when we experience the fullness of Him, it just flows out of us. The things of bringing people to Jesus, the things of releasing the kingdom, of releasing healing, and seeing the miraculous happen in our lives. It's an outflow of Him. But that can only come from an encounter with Him.
Encountering the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, "It is better for you that I go away, for if I will not go away, I will not send the Spirit." And the Spirit makes Jesus our contemporary. He makes Jesus our contemporary, that we come to know Jesus personally. And when I talk about know, I'm talking about Adam knew Eve, and in 9 months they gave it a name. We need to know Jesus. To know about Him is good, but to know Him and to taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see, not think and wonder. Taste and see that the Lord is good.
Yeah, it's and in fact, that whole, just what you just shared, Father Tom, in that, to me, there is something when the Holy Spirit comes on us, that there is this release, this thing that occurs that lets us know that we know Him, that we have encountered Him, that we've been called by Him, and it's the most beautiful thing in the world that He who trusted the Holy Spirit Himself, Jesus, that He needed the Holy Spirit to release the things on the earth that He did, that in His leaving, in His and telling us, I actually had a guy write me a song just in the past couple of months, because I kept joking about the fact nobody's ever written a worship song, "Jesus, thank you for leaving," but Jesus Himself said, "It's good for you that I go." And so that the Holy Spirit could come. And so when the Holy Spirit comes on us, what a joy, what an incredible joy, because we actually get to move in the same things that Jesus Himself moved in. It's the most incredible, amazing, amazing release. You know, as I was thinking about all this and just reflecting on some of the things that the Lord's been showing me recently, the Lord took me to Luke chapter 9 and Luke chapter 10 and began demonstrating the significance of the power of God in us when we don't know what to do, when in fact we are weak, when we are requiring something far more than ourselves. And in the story, in Luke chapter 9, we read that Jesus commissioned the 12. And the reason he commissioned the 12 was because he'd been with them long enough. And he was trying to get them all the time. "Can you guys just get this? The stuff I'm doing, you're going to do. The stuff I'm doing, you're going to do. The stuff I'm doing, you're going to do." And he would ask them all the time, exasperated. He'd say, "How long do I have to be with you?" I mean, on one occasion, he literally says, "You guys are functioning in a perversion because you can't cast the demon out," because God intended for them to be able to do that. And so eventually in Luke chapter 9, we read that it says Jesus called the 12 and he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he told them, "Take nothing for the journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra tunic. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave. And if people don't welcome you, shake the dust off your feet." And the key to going out is the reality that you don't need anything but Jesus to go out. And sometimes when you have experience, you actually think it's your experience that gives you the authority to go out. But in fact, it's not experience. It's the presence of Jesus that gives you the authority to go out. It's the call. It's the relationship. It's the reality that God is on you. And so that's why Jesus looks at them. He says, "Hey, I don't want you to take anything with you. I want you to become completely reliant on me. You're not going to need anything but me for this ministry trip. And he sends them out, and they have a phenomenal time. God really shows up and does some amazing things. People are healed. Demons are cast out. And later on, we read that in fact, they came back, and Jesus just kept on doing some more training. That's where the feeding of the 5,000 takes place. And he begins equipping even more and saying, well, now there's more stuff that you're going to know and learn as well. But at the end of that chapter, everything flips in Luke chapter 10. And to me, it's one of the most profound segments of Scripture, because Jesus moves on from the disciples and he turns to the 70. Some translations say 72. But in that process, he says to them, after this, and after that is after he'd sent the 12 out, after there's the revelation of Jesus, after there's a transfiguration, after there's the healing of the boy with the spirit, we're actually after their ministry trip, after all their training, they couldn't even cast the demon out. And I think Jesus recognized we have to find people who don't have it all together, don't have all the training, don't have all the equipping, but they need me, and they're going to trust me. They're going to completely rely on me. I don't have to take things away from them because they don't even have it yet. And so he picks these 70, and it says, and he appointed them, and he sent them two by two ahead of him. In other words, where they were going, he was about to come. That literally they were preparing it. And we, as his people, where we go, he is coming. They're beginning to understand that. And I imagine he looked at them and he says, now I want you to understand, I'm going to send you to places I'm coming. So you're going to go re-present me. You're going to come before me and present me early so that when I get there, they will recognize me. That the things that are going to flow off of your life, they're going to say, oh, this is the one they were referring to. We are going to present him so that when Jesus comes, we will recognize him. And they go ahead and he sends them out with this commission. The harvest is plentiful. Basically, he's saying the harvest is too much for just 12. It's huge. And the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. And he gives them this commission. He says, I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. He's sending them out into something that's going to require not only the provision of God, but the protection of God. And that entire trust, that entire resting is what God wants us to get into, where we begin to recognize that he may call us to dangerous situations, but that's all right, because he's our protection and our provision. He's there for us. And he says, I don't want you to take anything with you. And basically, he's telling exactly what he said to the disciples. And he tells them again. He says, I want you to heal the sick. I want you to go do all the stuff. Just what he told the disciples. Same, and he commissions these 70 who hadn't been to any ministry school, hadn't been hanging out with Jesus for these 3 years, hadn't had the close encounter experiences that the 12 had, but he picks them, and I think there was strategy in it. Later on, it says in verse 17 of chapter 10 of Luke, it says, the 70 returned, or the 72 returned with joy. And they said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. One of the things you'll find out about people that begin moving in the things of the Spirit of God, who don't have experience, who don't have all the training, is that joy is all around them, because they go, I know I can't do this. This is something that he did. And so they return with joy. They go, it really worked. There was something that really happened. And Jesus responds to them, and it says, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I've given you authority to trample on snakes, scorpions, and overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. And then he turns their focus into what our focus must always be. Just remember, it's not about the works that happen to you or through you. It's not about all the stuff that you can do or that you see happen. It's never about that. Just remember, it's just because you know me. It's just because your names have been written in heaven. It's just because I've chosen you, I've selected you. That at the end of the day, it's not how much you can accomplish. It's that you know me, that you're walking with me. And then it says, very interestingly, and at that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hidden these things from the wise, from the learned, from the students, from the ones who've had all the experience. And you kept this and revealed it to kids, to people who get it, to people who understand the things that we're going to do are not because we're anybody. They're things that we're going to do because he said we do them. And when we get to go out, we get to release the kingdom. We get to release his presence on people's lives. It's the most joyous experience. Every time I see somebody responding to the Lord, every time I see somebody come out of a wheelchair or somebody come off of crutches or a broken arm or broken limb healed or somebody healed from some other disease, I don't go, man, I know how to do this. I go, wow. This is awesome. This is you, Jesus. I can't do this. Thank you that my name is there. Thank you that I have a relationship with you, that I get to walk through life with you, that I'm a child, that I'm a kid in the kingdom. Lord, help me become more like the 70 than like the 12. In my experience with you, to realize I don't know how to do the next thing, but you do. And if I rely on you and I trust in you, Satan's going to fall like lightning.
Very interesting that I don't know how to do the next thing. People have asked me, how can you preach on the radio for 31 years? Because I don't know what I'm going to do next. The Lord has to show me. And he does. Sometimes it's in the morning when I'm before the Blessed Sacrament. Sometimes I get it while I'm in bed. What he wants me to talk about, it's, you know, I don't know how to do it, you know, and that is one of the greatest gifts, that I don't know how, which means I need to depend upon Jesus. I need to depend upon him, that he's going to bless you. We did that talk on Don't Quit. Don't quit. So many people who heard that talk were so encouraged and so inspired, because you know what? The enemy wants us to say, it's over. I quit. No more. I had my share. I went through my Jesus phase. It isn't a phase, it's a life.
Yeah.
It's a life. But there are many people that have used Jesus as a phase. No, it's not a phase, it's a life. And I'm going to tell you what happened to those people. They started to endure the cross. And when the cross came, they said, we didn't buy this. We didn't buy this, and they left, and they left. That's very sad, because when you leave Jesus, you leave life. When you leave Jesus, you leave hope. When you leave Jesus, you're on your own. And oh, my Lord, that is the last thing I want to be, is on my own.
You know, what you were just saying, it's the reliance on the Holy Spirit. That's exactly what it is. It's that we rely on him, that we trust him. And that's exactly what Jesus did. In John 5, we've often heard the verse that it says Jesus is responding and he says the Son can only do what he sees the Father doing. And what he's responding to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is speaking to him and he's saying, the Holy Spirit's showing me this, and so therefore I can do this. Actually, the context of that is even better, because sometimes we're looking for the one or two things that God is doing. But in fact, a couple of verses earlier than that, Jesus, in responding to the Pharisees for healing a man on the Sabbath, they basically said, stop it. Can't you pick the 6 days? You got to do this on the one day we've asked you not to. And Jesus says, you guys don't get it. My Father is always working. That's John 5:17. My Father is always working and is even working in this hour. The Son can only do what he sees the Father doing. He can only speak what he hears the Father saying. He's relying completely on the Holy Spirit. And if the Holy Spirit is moving at odd times and in ways that are that conflict with our convenience, that's the Holy Spirit. And that's what he does. And so we learn to rely on him at all occasions. Why? Because he's always working. My Father is always working. He's not, he doesn't take off days. He doesn't take off minutes. He's working today. He's working on every person that's listening. He's working on about 7.2 billion people across the earth. He's working on the good ones, on the bad ones, on the small ones, on the great ones. He's working on every individual. There's something of his Spirit that has been shed abroad in our hearts that God desires for all men to come to repentance. He desires for all to turn to him. He desires for a relationship with all 7.2. He desires for all of them. And how does that happen? Well, the Holy Spirit will lead us. And today, he's probably going to lead some of you into connections and encounters with other people. And the biggest question I've learned to ask when I see somebody is, Holy Spirit, what are you doing? Holy Spirit, what are you doing in this one? What do you want to see happen here? And if you ask, he'll give it. He promises, I'm not going to give you a stone if you ask for the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to give you a stone if you're asking me for manna from heaven. I'm not going to give you a scorpion or a snake. I'm not going to give you something poisonous. If you're asking from me, if you ask from me, I promise you I'm going to give you bread. I'm going to give you the stuff that matters. I'm going to give you the fish. I'm going to give you the release of the presence of the Father. I am asking today, Lord, for everyone here that's listening, that they will become those who are not afraid to ask you. They'll become those, Lord, that will say, I need to hear from Jesus today. And I need to hear about this neighbor, or I need to hear about this colleague at work, or I need to hear about one of my children. I need to hear from you what it is that you're doing, so I can enter into the place of pulling on the Holy Spirit, pulling on him and saying, I need what you've got that I don't have. I'm empty. You're full. You're full. Would you fill me? Would you fill me? And that's my heart, just to release that to all of you today.
Why don't you pray then?
Yeah. So pray with me. Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
I just invite you to fill me in afresh today.
I invite you to fill me afresh today.
A new baptism of your love.
A new baptism of your love.
And a new baptism of reliance on you.
And a new baptism of reliance on you.
That I wouldn't just hear the very clear things.
That I wouldn't just hear the very clear things.
I would sense the nuances of God.
I would sense the nuances of God.
I would know he's leading in this way, I must go.
I would know that he's leading in this way and I must go.
And that, Lord, I will respond to you.
And Lord, I will respond to you.
In the littlest or the greatest things.
In the littlest or the greatest things.
With immediate obedience.
With immediate obedience.
I'm not going to pray about it forever.
I'm not going to pray about it forever.
I'm going to be immediate in my response to what you're doing.
I'm going to be immediate in my response to what you're doing.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. And that's what I spoke about today at Mass, that God wants our obedience.
Come on.
Obedience comes from the word obedere, which means to listen to him. God wants our obedience. And you know what? You say, well, someone else will do it. No, you're the someone else. Someone else isn't going to do it, believe me. You know, I'm on radio for 31 years, and I knew someone else wasn't going to do it. I had no ability or teaching about speaking on radio. I just did the best I could and followed the example of Jesus that he wanted me to do. Someone else is not going to do it. Someone else is not. You're going to do it. Maybe there's someone that's got a vocation and you're saying, well, I'm not worthy. Well, welcome to the human race. No one is worthy. Only the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He alone is worthy. No one is worthy but Jesus. You see, we've got to get out of this mentality that, you know, I'm the poor, broken little person. Well, you are broken, and he's going to breathe in the brokenness. And in his weak, in your weakness, or in my weakness, we're most strong. We are broken. All of us are broken. We're like broken vessels. But Jesus comes and gives us ability to minister to other broken people. He gives us that beautiful caring for other people. Rather than looking down on people, we look to people because we're just like them.
Yes.
All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Mm. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That means we're all dysfunctional. We're all broken. But you know what? I know someone who knows how to heal us. I know someone who loves us. I know someone that wants to give us a ministry. Yes, you, a ministry. But you've got to be obedient to what you hear. You see, if God is speaking to me and saying to me, I want you to say this, and I don't say it, I'm not being obedient. I'm not being obedient. You say, I don't hear the word of God. Well, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Listen, we are doing the School of the Holy Spirit at Holy Rosary in Winthrop. Today is the 21st of July, and we will be there tonight at 7 o'clock. You are welcome to come. Oh, yes, God is doing something at Holy Rosary Church, 1015 Shirley Street in Winthrop, Massachusetts. God is at work. Hallelujah. We need Him to be at work because we're all so needy. Every one of us are so needy, and He is the fulfillment of our need. Not people, not money, not prestige. His name is Jesus. He's wonderful. He loves you. He's got plans for you. I know the plans I have for you, plans to give you a future and a hope. When you call on me, when you seek me with all of your faith, your heart, you'll find me with you, says the Lord. Jesus is wonderful. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.